And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right. I'm talking, we covered down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be Alabama. From way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. All right, I made an executive decision, Boom.
All right, what is that?
Executive decision. I'm going to hold the Trump discussion for later because right now all the news is Trump's driving. Okay, that's just...
Trump's driving.
Trump had a ham sandwich. Yeah, exactly. It's going to be like that for a while. Oh, man. Trump scratched his ear. So, okay. I'm going with number one of the Triple Dipper, home fries. I mean, we got to talk about stuff that's going on at home. It's so easy for us to get swept up into what did Fox News or CNN say or, you know, what's happening in D.C. I got news, man. There's stuff happening right here, right around us. And some good, some bad, all worth knowing because it's part of where we live. So I'm going to jump right into home. By the way, we got to have a sound effect, Boo. Sooner or later, we got to have a home fries sound effect.
I forget about the home fries sound effect. I just have to do it.
Wasn't it going to be like a sizzling sound? Yeah, or like did we already find that once before?
Well, someone sent us the sizzling fries. So we got to work on that.
Okay, we got to work on that. Yeah. All right. Number one, home fries. So I've not said it on the show yet. I wanted to wait and see how things were going. But just the last couple of days, so AL.com has the story, and you may have heard it, about the Alabama medical helicopter that went down. So... the chopper was called Lifesaver 4 out of Sylacauga, and it crashed unexpectedly while, you know, rushing to a scene to rescue a hiker. The pilot was killed, and here's what we understand so far. The crash occurred out there near US 280. The pilot was a guy named Mark Gann, and Mark Gann... piloting Lifesaver 4, Gann died at the scene. So did registered nurse, 43-year-old Samuel Russell. And then also their medic, Amanda Daniels, is hospitalized in critical but stable condition. So she survived. But the other two guys died. Gann himself, though, I thought it was interesting to see his background. Gann served more than 20 years in the U.S. Army as an attack helicopter pilot with the rank of Chief Warrant Officer 4. And prior to that, he had been an Army Ranger. So a storied career, no telling where all he served. Investigators have yet to determine what caused the crash. It went down somewhere around 5:30 or 6 in the evening, said Shelby County Chief Deputy Clay Hammock. So anyway, our thoughts and prayers go out to the family of the Gans and the Russells. And we appreciate their service and also that of Mark Gann in his military service. Anybody knew him, I'd love to hear more about him. Other things that are going on, though, I will tell you, you may recall also, sad moment there, is that Huntsville police lost one of our own just in the last week, Garrett Crumby. Garrett Crumby was an officer with the Huntsville PD. I think he had served for 10 years between two communities. And he was killed in an on-duty shooting incident. His partner, Albert Marin, who's 34 years old, was seriously wounded, expected to recover, though. And there was an unnamed woman who was also not a suspect, but she was a person of interest within the overall call they were responding to. On the scene, she was injured, but she's going to be fine. So they had an hour-long service at Mayfair Church of Christ, which, if I'm not mistaken, Mayfair is right there on Whitesburg Drive. But Mayfair Church of Christ, people shared their thoughts and their memories. He grew up in Mississippi, apparently. Came to Huntsville by way of the Tuscaloosa police first, distinguished himself during his time on the force here in Huntsville. Huntsville Mayor Tommy Battle said that Crumby was somebody very, very special who inspired hundreds of emails and texts to his office. And this is what I thought was significant. You know, I've heard before that what they say about you after you're gone is really an indicator of who you were. Is your eulogy, basically. What would they say about you if you were gone today is worth thinking about sometimes. Well, his friend, Officer Crumby's friend, a guy named Steve Barrett, said he remembers discussions with Officer Crumby, and one of them he said that Crumby told him, and this is a quote, "Doesn't matter how bad it gets out there. Doesn't matter what I deal with on a daily basis. It's just that I show people that I care." That's the kind of guy you want out there on the job, man. I'm just telling you. That's exactly That's exactly, and by the way, that's what the vast, vast, vast majority of the men and women in blue are. We appreciate you, and thank you for your service to our state and community, Officer Crumby, and to your family. That being said, it does bring up that we need to point out, I had her on the show the other day, Officer Keelan Darby. She is a Decatur police officer whose husband is Officer Ben Darby. Officer Ben Darby, you may recall, was convicted a couple of years ago in 2021 for the on-duty shooting of a guy that occurred in 2018. So he was convicted, though, of manslaughter, if I'm not mistaken, and his conviction was just reversed on appeal. And so we did have last week on the show, you can always find it on our podcast if you want to go back and listen to it. But our podcast, they're on, and let me just make a quick pause there and say, if you want to catch a piece of the show or you hear me reference an old interview, all you got to do is go to any podcasting format, type in Right Side Radio and get it. But you can also go, Boomer puts them up and they're posted to our website also, rightsideradio.org. And you can go in there and you can just scroll back. In this case, it wouldn't be scrolling, but about the last week to 10 days. But Keelan Darby, the wife, and she's also a police officer herself, of Ben Darby, was on the show talking about the fact that the appellate court reversed and remanded. And what that basically means is, Lawyer Phil here again, by reversing and remanding, they have now reversed the earlier or the underlying decision by the lower court and remanded it, meaning it's sent back with instructions to do it again, and this time include these things that you didn't include before. Or sometimes it's excluded. But in this case, they said that the judge had incorrectly charged the jury and that next time he has to do it differently. So, bottom line is, Officer Ben Darby getting a brand spanking new trial. It's going to be like starting from scratch. But in this case, it's going to be, you know, with conditions that on appeal, the appellate court believed should have been allowed so that he could get a full benefit of the jury trial that he was owed. So there's that all happening around our state. While I'm talking about those who have given all that they have and have gone through a lot in doing so, let me just point out also, you may have seen that just a few days ago, was it over the weekend, I believe? 9 soldiers at Fort Campbell, part of the 101st Airborne Division, died when 2 Black Hawk helicopters crashed during a training mission. So all these guys, and I think they were all guys, yeah, all these guys serving in the 101st, and they were all part of a medevac unit. So these were 2 medevac choppers, practicing dust-off operations, I guess. But they were, to this point, we don't know what caused the downing, but I will point out that one of those who died was actually a native of Mountain Brook right here in Alabama. That was Staff Sergeant Taylor Mitchell, 30 years old, native of Mountain Brook. And he enlisted in the Army in 2014, went to basic training at Fort Jackson, South Carolina, went first to the 2nd Cavalry Regiment in Vilseck, Germany, and then became a flight paramedic for the Combat Aviation Brigade of the 101st Airborne Division, where he'd been since 2020. He served overseas twice, once in Romania, once in Germany. And he was awarded the Army Commendation Medal, Army Achievement Medal, among other ribbons, including the Air Assault Badge. So Godspeed, and we're sorry for the loss of the family of Staff Sergeant Taylor Mitchell from Mountain Brook. All right, wow. Okay, there's a lot of things happening around here. I'm going to move into other news, but I wanted to start that off by honoring those who have made sacrifices for our very state and our nation, it was worth doing. All right, Boomer, tell you what, take us to a break about a minute earlier than usual. We'll do that right now. We'll come right back. I'm in Home Fries, number one of the Triple Dipper. Stuff happening right here where you live. Like, the news is dominated by Trump had a ham sandwich. Trump's driving. Yeah, we know. But what about, the officer shot in the line of duty in Huntsville or the guy from Mountain Brook who died at Fort Campbell? You need to know all this stuff. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Trump ate a ham sandwich. This is going to be our life for a bit, but I will say this. Trump's attorneys just addressed the press themselves. They didn't have President Trump do it himself. And I just got a text from Charlene. I got to find out why. I mean, this feels like it's a very long ways away, that his next hearing is not until December. That feels like eons away. So I can't imagine why they would set it that far out, especially on what I would consider to be preliminary motions. And maybe they set the, you know, every state has their own version of the law regarding to pursue criminal convictions or, for that matter, anything else. State law, in this case, is what applies. There's no federal standard all across the board. It's like literally one state can do it one way, another state can do it another way. My recollection is New York has an arraignment process whereby, yes, you enter your plea. You're faced with the charges. You enter your plea as to any and all counts. And then on top of that, the judge sets a scheduling date for expected hearings. There's going to be a motion. There's going to be a flurry of what I would call preliminary motions. Preliminary motions in this case are going to wind up being things like a motion to dismiss. Yes. If that fails, I suspect we'll also see a motion to maybe recuse, asking the judge to step down for potential bias, or a motion to transfer venue, which would take it out of this judge's courtroom and move it to another location altogether where, you know, the Trump will make the case or his team will make the case that he could get a more fair trial, a fairer trial. And so, I don't know, more to come. Golly, I can't imagine why it would be pushed out to December. We'll track down that and see what the judge said. And also, as soon as we get something that tells us what this 34-count felony indictment is, which maybe they actually, you know, Bill Hemmer might be reading that right now on Fox. As soon as I find out more, I will let you know more. All right, let me jump back into home fries, things that are happening around here. Around here, cooking up some home fries for the peoples. So it is, this is not the way it's supposed to be. So, you know, we just had the school shooting at the Covenant School in Nashville. I got the name right, Boomer? Was it Covenant School? It was, yeah, okay. So Covenant School in Nashville, a private school, but it also brings to mind certain things. Well, when I was in the legislature, I believe it was in the last, yeah, I think it was in the last year I was in, 2018, we passed, I'd forgotten the name of it, but apparently it was called the Sentry Program, and what it basically did was allowed for an administrator in the school to be armed. And they could not just, like, walk around open carry in the school, whatever, but, you know, too scary, but they had to keep it in a biometrically controlled safe in the administrator's office. Okay. Makes me wonder, is it still going on? Well, 1819 News was apparently wondering also. So Erica Thomas wrote a piece on this very thing, came out today. It says, for 5 years, Alabama's Sentry program has enabled some school administrators to have guns on campus. The program was put in place in 2018. Yes, indeed. It's only allowed in schools that did not have a school resource officer. I did not recall that piece, but I'm pretty sure now that I think about it, that was some kind of an amendment that got the bill to pass because some Democrat or somebody had opposed or something. Who knows? But anyway, the Sentry program is only allowed apparently in schools that do not have a school resource officer. The names of the schools and the individuals who would have access to the weapons are not publicized for good reasons. But here's the part that gets me. Randolph County School Superintendent John Jacobs said most of his schools do have SROs. However, he told 1819 News that when the program was first implemented, he applied for a Sentry program and never heard back from the state. I'm like, what? Whoa. That's verging on jackassery. He says it depends on the administrator, to be honest with you. He says, when I was an administrator, it wouldn't have bothered me to carry a gun. He said, but some people never handled a gun and might be worried about them. So the Alabama Law Enforcement Agency, ALEA, the state troopers, they're responsible for training and managing the Sentry program. Graduates receive a certificate of the underlying training they went through, yada, yada, yada. But I'm questioning now, if he's saying that he applied, never heard back, how many people have tried to get the Sentry program in their schools and had no success? 1819 ends the article by saying Aaliyah has not responded to media requests on the topic. So I'm curious. Is they or ain't they? Like, I know one guy, and he may actually work at the central office now, but he's a high school principal. He's also a former Secret Service agent, and I'm pretty sure he can do whatever's necessary. But not everybody's going to be that way. But if you're going to have a program and they apply for the program, I would hope that there's been follow-through on the people who apply for the program. All right. Other stuff happening. The big agenda right now for the legislative session. I mean, this has been the rudderless legislative session. Have you heard of a agenda? No. Have you heard what they're planning on doing with anything? Not really. Is there going to be school choice? Is there going to be a gambling bill? Is there going to be a lottery? Is there going to be anything? Are they going to, I don't know, take a walk in the park together? Who knows? Because they don't tell us. But they finally had a press conference yesterday to talk about the governor's proposal for what she's calling the game plan. The game plan is an economic development package. Now, some people have a beef with the idea of incentivizing companies to come to your state. I don't. All right. Me personally, I don't. With caveats to that, let me refresh. I don't have a problem with incentivizing, with requiring proof that the incentives have paid off. We have what we call clawbacks, and I helped put things in place that said you don't throw cash at a corporation. You promise them the opportunity to have their tax burden reduced or something like that through abatements if they reach certain milestones like employment levels and the opportunity then to recoup from them if they don't follow through the way they're supposed to, called clawbacks. All right. Well, right now, some of the things that we passed back when I was in are up for renewal. The Jobs Act. The Jobs Act expires in January. The Jobs Act is, and by the way, every state has some version of their state-allowed incentive programs to attract industry. And if you're not careful, they can basically, you can lose out because, you know, the state right next door to you has better incentives. So it's one of those things where you got to be careful. You don't want to give away the farm here. You don't want to throw cash at a corporation, corporate bailout, so to speak, or some call it corporate welfare. But then there's opportunities, though, to say, all right, listen, if you'll come here and create X amount of jobs in the first year, then we will allow you to pick one, go without paying property tax on your new facility for the first 5 years. And then usually it's bigger than that, but you know what I'm saying. Governor Kay Ivey announced the game plan in a press conference yesterday with the Senate pro tem, the Speaker of the House, the Lieutenant Governor. 4-bill package. One would renew the Jobs Act and the Growing Alabama Act, both of which are set to expire this summer. It would allow for the $350 million cap on incentives to be increased, and part of that's because of the inflation that we've gone through. They're going to allow for, this is where I got to roll my eyes a little bit, incentives if you want to make renewable energy projects as a part of your jobs incentives. The second one is called the Site Evaluation Development Strategy Act, meaning if you're trying to develop a space for attracting industry to your community, that the state can help you with grants to get that done. And then they have other things to help small businesses and stuff like that. And then transparency. All to say, the big push, and I'm going to tell you right now, besides passing the budget, the big push is this. They are looking at jobs incentives, period. All right? Listen, we're going to turn more on this. We're going to wrap up Home Fries when we get back. There's still more in my stack. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.
Listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Hour number two, live here in the Right Side studios. The local, the state, the national, covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. We had a caller on the line. Greg from Huntsville, you want to call back in? Got disconnected apparently during the break. But anyway, we'll take you if you want to call. Speaking of which, in case I hadn't said it, text lines are open, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. If you text in for the very first time, just text the word right side to that number, 833-68-RIGHT. And then you'll get an automatic message back that'll say something like, you know, hey, you right side ruffian, welcome to the show. And then tell us your first name and where you're from. We'll get you plugged into the system along with the scads, boomer, scads of people that we have. Scads? Yeah. I would say scads is a fair number. It you can look it up. It means a lot. All right, listen, we got things developing in the Trump case. We'll keep a post on that. There's really nothing to tell you yet. There are things happening, bits and pieces, but right now it's just nonstop, you know, yada, 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 yada. But we do right now have a press conference about to kick off any moment. Apparently, District Attorney Alvin Bragg is going to come make his case to the public. I'm looking right now, and I can see flow charts, you know, and all kinds of, and he's going to stand up there and tell the world why this was a really, really good idea. Okay. So we'll wait and see, but that's about to happen any moment, and yeah, he's got his flow charts and all right there next to the microphone. He's going to come, I guess, make his case to the public about why he's the man and this had to happen, and no one is above the law, okay, unless you're a Democrat, and then dang, it's good to be a Democrat. All right, home fries. I am going to wrap this section up. Home things you got to know. So first of all, you know, the Port of Mobile is a big, big deal for our state. It's a huge operation. It's a major shipping and receiving. It picked up a lot when the supply chains were log jammed. We got a lot more business into our port. Our port's also being dredged out and made deeper. It's a great warm water port right there in the Gulf of Mexico. It's also where Austal Boat Builders builds naval ships, to include the Littoral Combat Ship, which is apparently falling by the wayside. But Defense News reports that as of 2 days ago, three senior executives from Mobile, Alabama, with Austal Boat Builders are now accused of misleading shareholders and investors. They have each been charged with one count of conspiracy to commit wire fraud and wire fraud affecting a financial institution, five counts of wire fraud, two counts of wire fraud. Anyway, bottom line is this. They've been indicted. Three senior executives at Austal in Mobile, Alabama. And allegedly what they did, if I understand it correctly, there's an investigation that went back several years and found that they were cooking the books, in essence, cooking the books to try and hide certain metrics that would allow them to indicate a higher share of their stock for their investors, or actually hurting U.S. investors. So it drove the stock up when it shouldn't have. It's going to be a RICO claim, I believe. But the bottom line is we got three of our executives at a major facility that builds ships in the Port of Mobile, and doesn't look good. All right, Fort Rucker. I look at this and think, okay, we've trained a lot of combat pilots there over the years. And nobody, including me, and I'm a history buff, nobody knew that Fort Rucker was named for somebody who was a Confederate. Did you know, Boomer?
No.
Come on, man.
No, I did not know this.
Surely, if someone is sensitive to the nature of modern-day cries of racism, I don't know why I said it that way. But anyway, the bottom line is I come from a multi-generational military family. Did I have any idea that Fort Benning is named for a Democrat? No. Fort Bragg, no. Fort Hood, no. Never seen it. All I knew was Benning's where you go to jump school or ranger school. Rucker's where you go for learning how to be a helicopter pilot. Bragg is the home of the 82nd Airborne and Special Forces. Fort Hood is the home of 1st Cav. I served under 1st Cav in Baghdad. Fort Hood is soon to be Fort Cavazos. By the way, I do have this on good authority. I talked to a young Cav officer who told me that they chose the name Fort Cavazos, C-A-V-A-Z-O-S. I'm sure General Richard Cavazos was a good dude, but some say that it was going to be called Fort Cavazos because 1st Cavalry Division is there, and now they can call it Fort Cav. That's almost kind of funny. But you may want to know, though, Fort Rucker is officially changing the name to Fort Novacell. I will say this, Michael J. Novacell, a Medal of Honor recipient, Army aviator, Chief Warrant Officer 4, a storied career. I don't have a problem with anything being named after that man. It's going to be interesting, though, and it starts on April 10th. So that's why I bring it up now as part of Home Fries. April 10th, Fort Rucker goes away. They ripped the sign down and put up a new one. It will now be Fort Novacell. So it just feels awkward, to be honest with you. I haven't been around the Army a long time to say, used to say in Rucker. Where are you stationed, Rucker? Oh, yeah. Where are you stationed? Novacell. That just feels odd. All right, here's another one as we get close to the end of Home Fries. You may be curious to find that apparently Gavin Newsom, even though Gavin Newsom put Alabama on his no-fly list, like if you're a state employee, we were banned. Did you know that? We were banned. We were on the no-fly list from California. Why? I guess we're just too conservative. But Gavin Newsom's coming to Alabama. What? Yes, I kid you not. Story out of Yellowhammer came out this past Friday. According to a report from the Associated Press, California Governor Gavin Newsom will be making a few stops through the South beginning in Alabama next week. Many throughout the country expect that Newsom could be gearing up for a possible presidential run in 2024. Whoop, whoop. Upon his arrival, he's expected to meet with the state's Democratic leaders to discuss things like Medicaid expansion and the growing fight against conservative education proposals such as school choice. Scary stuff, that. But I will say this. I may get irritated with Governor Ivey sometimes, but I'll call out good when I see it. And her response to Gavin Newsom coming to Alabama is hilarious. So Gavin Newsom coming to Alabama. Here's a quote from the governor. Governor Newsom certainly won't be the first person to flee California for Alabama. I hope he enjoys his stay. Oh, my Lord. And then last thing on the list before we close down this segment on Home Fries, I said it before, but apparently we are still going to be waiting a bit longer on whether Space Command is going to come to Huntsville. Yeah, military.com with a recent story. They have decided that, quote, further analysis is needed. So Air Force Secretary Frank Kendall, you know, this is ridiculous. They're claiming that politics is the reason why Huntsville got it. I got news. If Huntsville doesn't get it, it's because of politics. Can we just go ahead and clearly label that? There's no way in the world they can't say this wasn't political in nature, this whole review process. Well, okay, so we won, right? We were number one on the list, and we won. Air Force Secretary Frank Kendall said in response to a military.com question Tuesday that the final decision would come, quote, fairly soon, but that further analysis is needed. So they previously had said, you may remember this back in September, yeah, it's going to be soon, but we got to have the environmental study. Well, with the environmental study concluded in September, it was supposed to be the last step. And then we now hear they're also doing what they call sensitivity analysis. The heck, man? How many times do you got to check title on a piece of property before you move a house there, right? So here's the deal. Sensitivity analysis is called a delay tactic. You just don't want to do it because you're the Biden administration. That's what's happening. I will say this. Our U.S. delegation has been all over this like white on rice, like a duck on a June bug, like stink. Well, you know what I'm saying. I'll stop there. All right. That's it for home fries. You just got to know what's going on around your community. And I'll also tell you, too, Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg is now making his pitch to the world. And Trump is headed back to the airport and getting on Trump Force One and flying back to Mar-a-Lago. This thing's going to unpack for a while. I look forward to finding out how in the world Bragg believes he's got 34 counts. We'll see, and I'll let you know if I find out. In the meantime, Boomer, take us to a break, brother. We'll do that right now. We'll come right back. Switching gears, I'm going to go ahead and call the number two of the Triple Dipper. It's up next, National Insecurity. Y'all stand by. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative. Hey, so I got to tell you, D.A. Bragg is making his pitch right now to the world. He just made a statement in defense of his, you know, prosecution of the former president of the United States. We've vigorously chase white-collar crime. You don't chase Jack, dude. You look like you might chase some donuts, but the reality is they don't chase crime. His office has downgraded felonies to misdemeanors at record levels. Like it's safe to be a criminal right now in New York City. It's not safe to be a law-abiding citizen. He hadn't chased crime. He has literally chased the idea of not chasing crime. I mean, the man looks like he spends a lot of time chasing a sandwich, and that's about it.
And I mean... Absolutely. I look at this whole thing, and it's just maddening, infuriating that this would happen in our country.
Yeah.
I think it's just absurd that they would do this to a past president. And I mean, that they're just grasping at strings to make sure he doesn't run again.
And they like to say nobody's above the law, but they're having to manufacture the law to go after him.
Exactly. And like you just said, this guy over here, Mr. Twinkie, he just likes to, you know, like you said, he has all these things that he's downgrading, and then he's trying to upgrade these allegations.
Yeah, it's kind of hard. I'll get to dissect this in more detail because I can't do it while I'm on the air. But I'll just be honest with you, Boom, I fully expect to be sitting there tonight getting both sad and mad.
Right.
At the same time, as I listen to a guy who has made his career the idea of being soft on crime, trying to pretend that him taking a misdemeanor allegation and bumping it up to a, you know, indict the president on 34 counts of felony, you know, falsification of records.
Mm.
It's unbelievable. In fact, by the way, that's the other thing. 34 counts of falsifying records. And by the way, they are state records. So he's doing all he can. He falsified the record 34 times. Well, we don't know what that means yet, because what do you have? Like, when he filed a report, he had to sign it twice. There's two. you know, if he filed a report and then the subsequent report contains the same information, does that make it four times because he signed that one twice? We're going to be picking this thing apart for days, months.
Yeah.
But. Ugh. Didn't you have a caller? Who was the caller?
The caller was Wolverine Dan.
Wolverine Dan, what'd
you
say?
Yeah, and we were talking about, you know, if they normally would have to do a mugshot, right?
Right.
But I don't think they did.
They're not doing a mugshot.
Yeah, they're not doing a mugshot.
They fingerprinted him, but they did not mugshot him.
If they did.
Yeah.
And don't they usually, on a mugshot, they have numbers underneath it, right? To identify,
right,
you know?
Right.
So he said the numbers should be for Trump 4702. 2024.
So a mugshot of our former president, and then you've got the number of his presidency.
His new presidency
his new
coming
presidency,
up.
47 with the
O2 would when he'd take office, right?
February of 2024.
That's right. I love it.
I do too. There may have to be like coins, t-shirts, and hats made of this.
I may have already texted my t-shirt guy and said, hey, you may want to jump on this. Give all props to Wolverine.
I may or may
Dan.
Not know a guy who has a t-shirt place. wow, that's too funny. Well, you know, we'll see. So Bragg just concluded his press conference, by the way. I'm sure that and CNN's already gone to it. How many people do they have on their panel on CNN right now? So, oh, my gosh.
Everyone wants to jump in and talk
Everybody
about Trump.
Everybody needs a piece of that pie, man. 1, 2, 3, 4. I got at least 5 or 6 people on the panel right now. Trump ate a ham sandwich. How many times did he chew that bite? I don't know. It's going to be this way for a
while.
We're
going to get him for that, too. I don't know.
D.A. Bragg on Fox News, it says, D.A. Bragg, I conducted a rigorous investigation. You're a shyster. You're given the practice. By the way, I am an attorney, and I am proud of my profession. And I said in my recent op-ed that was published Monday and is being picked up in other places around the state that it's amazing to me because lawyers, we have to go through every year, we have to have a certain number of continuing legal ed credits, part of which requires ethics training, and it's mandatory. And then you got, you know, hucksters and you know, bold-faced liars and people who downgrade the law unnecessarily, like Alvin Bragg, who is supposed to be held to the same type of continuing ed standard and quality of care provided. And oh, by the way, to advise his clients what he can and cannot do because the rules of professional conduct for an attorney can be pretty strict. And it's like, you know, I said in my piece that I wrote, I had somebody once that wanted to sue on principle. We don't sue on principle. We can't do that. It's called frivolous litigation. You don't do that. How about this? You can be sued for that. The Alabama Litigation Accountability Act, under our state law, in a civil proceeding, if you file a frivolous lawsuit, you can be sued in return and then get their money back, not only out of you, but for their court costs. But yet D.A. Bragg is going to pretend we rabidly pursue white-collar crime. No, you don't. No, you don't. You're a huckster, man. So, yeah, I mean, part of me gets sad. I was talking to Charlene right before the show. I know you said you and McQueen were talking about it at lunch, right, Boomer?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's exactly what we were talking about at lunch.
And just, I mean, the gamut of emotions.
Right. I mean, even if you are not a Trump fan, this still is...
This should not happen.
Should not happen.
Yeah. And I look at it and think, Democrats better watch out.
Yes.
Because I got news, they're not always going to be in the power play position.
Mm.
And they may have just opened up a Pandora's box they don't want any part of. Because sooner or later, somebody somewhere is going to find that smoking gun that Hunter Biden can't get out of anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to find that piece of paper that you know, Johnny Appleseed, Joe Biden left scattered all over the nation, and it's going to have that piece on there that says how much he got in his account. Or you're going to find that email that says the big guy is, and they just better be careful because they're doing this to Donald Trump, and I suspect that more is coming to them. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, National Insecurity, talking about China. Can we come right back up? You guys stay tuned. We will be right back.